333 today.
We face big and difficult challenges. What the American people hope, what they deserve, is for all of us, Democrats and Republicans, to work through our differences, to overcome the numbing weight of our politics. For while the people who sent us here have different backgrounds, different stories, different beliefs, the anxieties they face are the same. The aspirations they hold are shared.
All right, that's a little snippet, some of the softer stuff from the State of the Union address, President Obama in prime time. You'll get a chance to grade the State of the Union. I'll give you my grade. A couple of things that seem to be the main focus were jobs, also education, and giving kids a chance to get an education, talking specifically about Pell Grants and some other things. The repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, another thing that was thrown out in the State of the Union. So we will go through the entire thing and give you some analysis. And again, your chance to grade the president, his State of the Union address this time around. Some of the themes were pretty familiar. 800-259-5791, keep that number close. Also in this show, we're going to talk high tech. Apple unveils the iPad, but will it be a winner with the consumers? You're talking about right now, if you were to get one, $499 up to $829. Steve Jobs says it's like holding the internet in your hands. Do you want to hold the internet in your hands? And Ben Bernanke, as the Federal Reserve Chairman, in a recent poll just out the other day, 50 senators are supporting Bernanke by our count and by this poll's count, and 22 are opposed. So what does that mean? And speaking of financial stuff, Timmy Geithner drawing fire, trying desperately to defend AIG and the bailout in front of the fat cats on the Hill. But right now, at the top of the show, and hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America. Tonight we're going to head to my pal, Easy Ticket Mike, to talk for a few minutes, a little sports here on the show. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, Kate. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I was watching a lot of the Australian Open. I'm a big tennis nut, and I've been to a lot of the majors. I've never been to the Aussie Open, and I just watched the American champ, Serena Williams, who's number one in the world. She managed to get through all the way to the finals, so we know she's going to be in the finals again. This is like the fifth straight year for her. She has some incredible luck down under. So, and Li Na is the woman she defeated, a Chinese woman, and the Chinese are starting to come on when it comes to tennis, Mike. It's interesting because in that country, you know, it's all about badminton and table tennis, but apparently now there's big incentives for the men and the women to play tennis. They get to keep all their prize money. The government doesn't take anything from them, so they're encouraging tennis in that country.
Yeah, that would be an incentive there, that's for sure.
Boy, no kidding, huh? Well, in our country, of course, you can drive around all kinds of slick cars if you get a big NBA contract, have a big old mansion, and take your posse anywhere you want to go. There are a lot of millionaires in the NBA. And some that aren't too happy. Some are notorious. Gilbert Arenas, I think the last time you were on, we were talking about some of the bad boys in the NBA, and now he's suspended for the rest of the season, right?
Yeah, they announced that he met with Stern today, and they had a talk, and you know, Gilbert's going to accept it, and he's not going to appeal his suspension, but he's being suspended for the rest of the year, so he's out from the Wizards, which is probably the right thing to do. I mean, Arenas, he admitted, he said it was wrong for what he did, and, you know, he's taking his lumps for it.
Boy, no kidding, he certainly is. Hey, speaking of the action on the court, though, instead of all the nonsense that he created, how about the contenders right now? It's still kind of early because at this point we haven't gotten to the All-Star break yet, but we're getting closer. However, you have in the East, Cleveland, big time, and that's not a surprise. Boston, once again, they'd love to be in the thick of it, and they are. And we know that the Lakers are there. Your Dallas Mavericks are there. And I wouldn't really count the Nuggets out either. And there are a couple of other hopeful teams, I think, on the fringe. There's still a lot of basketball to be played. But what do you think we're going to see? Do you think we're going to see the Lakers as another repeat champ?
Well, you know, the Lakers, they play. I'm looking in the West this year to be, you know, actually the Mavericks and the Lakers. The Lakers came here to Dallas a couple weeks ago, and they beat the Mavericks. So the Lakers are a strong team, and it's going to be hard for anybody to get past them. Cleveland, they've got the best record now. As a matter of fact, they beat Minnesota tonight by 14 points. So I'm looking for Cleveland. You know, probably in the NBA Finals, I'm looking for Cleveland and the Lakers, really, again.
Yeah, it could be Cleveland and the Lakers. I agree. It's not hard to imagine that unless somebody sneaks in, and then, of course, the road could always be paved with somebody who gets lucky along the way once you get into the playoffs. Speaking of the playoffs,
yep.
This is it for the NFL.
It could be like last year with Orlando.
Yeah, getting in, yeah. So you just never know. And speaking of playoffs in the NFL, now it boils down to the Saints and the Colts. Minnesota, they were just a, boy, overtime win away from getting in. They didn't get in. So this could be an interesting matchup, although the Colts are favored by 4, and the smart money says Peyton Manning wins another Super Bowl. What do you think?
I think that's probably the way the outcome's going to be. You know, Manning, he's not putting any fodder out there for the New Orleans to use to build up their team. Anybody, you know, they're with the Colts, they're all keeping mum about what they're expecting, but they're going about it, you know, in a methodical way. And I think that Indianapolis is probably going to, you know, repeat again. But New Orleans, they look strong. And, you know, it's anybody's game in the Super Bowl. You know, I was last week I was looking at vintage New York Jets and Joe Namath game from, you know, and who thought that, you know, they would win the Super Bowl. So it's anybody's game, really. But I do think it's probably going to be the Colts, but New Orleans could come up and surprise people.
Boy, you never know. All right, I want to tell everybody you can go to easy-ticket.com. Mike has tickets to over 80,000 events nationwide, like that big, round, fat number. If you just go there, if you're looking for something in the East or the West or anywhere, not limited to any particular region in the United States, hockey tickets, we didn't talk about hockey, but hockey or basketball, anything that you're interested in, including concert tickets. Mike, you take care. Thanks for stopping by.
Okay, Kate, you have a good evening.
You too. Yeah, you know, it's like I was talking about the Australian Open. I'm sure he had tickets to the Australian Open. Well, you have a front row seat, and you have a say on the State of the Union. You get a chance to grade the State of the Union. I'm sure this audience, so politically motivated and fired up, I guarantee you watched it. We're going to be talking more about that, and we're going to talk about that next with Dr. Will Horton, getting into the mind of Barack Obama. That's next on ATN.
It is the new year. Life as we know it is changing. Maybe it's time to change your health habits. Life Change Tea could be your answer for better health. Rid your body of toxins and chemicals and lose weight naturally. No caffeine, great taste, and incredible results. Made in the USA and formulated by a PhD. You can order online at getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or call us at 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea will help balance your body and increase your energy. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 27, 2010. Gold opened this morning at $1093.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1123.94, $561.97 for a half ounce, or $280.98 for the quarter ounce. That's $1123.94, $561.97, and $280.98.
How is it that we the people grow the cotton, weave it into fabric, engrave the ink, embed the strips and fibers that protect it from counterfeit, then cart the money off to a privately owned bank to have it lent back to us at interest, forcing us to pay taxes to service the debt? Is this capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when he said, a central bank issuing a public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar inside of a book that explains how the monetary system works. Call for your copy, 1-800-686-2237. Isn't it time to understand the system? Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653, or order online now at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
Again, we are tested. And again, we must answer history's call. 1 year ago, I took office amid two wars, an economy rocked by a severe recession, a financial system on the verge of collapse, and a government deeply in debt. Experts from across the political spectrum warned that if we did not act, we might face a second depression. So we acted, immediately and aggressively. And 1 year later, the worst of the storm has passed.
All right, that's just a little snippet of Barack Obama's first State of the Union address. And the top, I guess, priority, what he was really pushing with this divided House in Congress, so to speak, is the economy, the economy, the economy, and stimulus spending, the new burst of stimulus spending, and saying that he wouldn't quit. I don't quit. That would be the one quote to take out of this. And he's going to continue to push for health care and education and the job growth and things of that nature. We'll get into some more of the speech as we move along, and you have a chance to grade the speech as well. Keep the number handy, 800-259-5791. I thought it'd be fun to have Dr. Will Horton on with us. He wrote a book, if you remember, called Mind Control, How to Get Others to Do What You Want. But a lot of people also remember an article that he did that basically outlined Barack Obama when he was a candidate, saying he was using hypnosis type of techniques to win over the favor of the people, the masses, if you will, and gain that influence over them. And he predicted then that this mass trance would start to wear off perhaps by 18 months. And boy, if you look at the polls, you know, we talk about it constantly here in America Tonight. Certainly the numbers have plummeted since Barack Obama first took office. Dr. Horton, thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Glad to be here. Thank you.
If you had to grade the State of the Union, I'm just curious, from your point of view, what would you say?
He sounded a lot like the candidate Obama rather than President Obama. He went back to a lot of his rhetoric sounding like a candidate. And kind of like you said there, when he kind of reminded me of Bill Clinton with "It's the economy, stupid." And getting back on that, but his rhetoric was back, and his polish as a candidate using like a lot of the what I would call the hypnotic techniques were back in the back in swing tonight.
Yeah, that's what it is about the words. It is about, you know, what are the factors if you look at this, because you know he's down. It was like 74 at the high point when he first came in, and down 50s and below now at this point. So what do you think were the main reasons why the president's popularity has fallen off? I think it's because of the things that he promises and then doesn't deliver. But how can he stop it, and what do you think it is?
Well, you hit it right with the fact that when he used the words in his campaign, you know, hope and change, the great about that is it gets you all excited because, you know, you may be hoping and changing for change in one way, and I'll hope and change for another, so at least one of us is going to be unhappy. And so he painted that without ever saying what it is. So all of his constituents, especially the people that really pushed him, were thinking he was going to do certain things. And I think he just set the bar too high, so it was hard for him to keep up with that. So and of course, when he first came in, people, you know, and in this country, you got to give him credit. The idea that the United States, you know, only 40 years removed from total segregation, you know, elected a black man president. So even some of his detractors were very excited that in one way that he won. But, of course, that was going to wear off. And he kind of I would just go back to that. He, you know, when you set the bar so high, when you play football like Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady, when you fall back and have a normal year, you know, people call you a failure. And that's I think a lot of that is what happened.
You know, you talked about in your article back when he was a candidate, and I'm reading that book that's so hot now that everybody's talking about called Game Change. That's the behind-the-scenes look on what happened on the road, the Newsweek reporter writing it and another reporter from, I want to say, Time magazine, I think, or The New Yorker also involved in that. But it's interesting background stuff. And what you're talking about in that article, the hypnosis techniques, I can see it by what I'm reading and what they're saying. Do you think, is that on purpose? I mean, can I do that? If you teach me that, is that stuff that I can weave? I have, at times, a good mastery of the language, but I don't know if I would say that I have that hypnosis-type techniques down. Is there a way to teach somebody that, and do you think that he was taught that?
Yeah, I think it's a learned skill. I mean, some people have it naturally. If you've ever heard a fundamentalist, like a fundamentalist Baptist preacher, they have a lot of the hypnotic techniques with the cadence and their speech pattern. So it can be learned. And I know, you know, by President Obama's own admission, one of his favorite books is a book called, you know, 48 Laws of Power. And in that, it talks about, you know, how to influence people and create spectacle, some of the things we call, like, I would call hypnotic techniques. And he did it tonight in the State of the Union, which is one way to make people feel better is to contrast it with times when times were much worse. And in several times in the speech tonight, if you caught, he kept referring back to, like, the Great Depression, you know, World War II. I mean, times of compared to now, much worse. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's sort of a hypnotic technique when you get people to think that it could be worse. Well, then therefore this the now isn't as bad.
Mm-hmm. Well, that
so
makes
it's gonna
complete
lift your spirits.
That makes complete sense because they've been using that a lot. In fact, the groundwork was laid for that weeks ago, in the comparisons probably even months ago to the Great Depression. That started to come out from the White House aides. You know, when they would be talking to the media, you'd start to hear that wrapped into the theme that they were pushing out there. So I'm not surprised that that was wrapped into his speech. I'm curious about that. What would be some other hypnotic techniques with good speakers or people that really seem to sway a crowd? Like you were talking about some of those incredible fundamentalist Baptist preachers. What are some of the other techniques to look for that you can see that the people listening to us could understand?
Well, first and foremost is you have to get people totally emotional. Because when you tap into a deep emotion, it bypasses the critical factors of the mind, you know, and people act and react much differently. And so, you know, you need to get people into the emotional state rather than into the, you know, intellectual state. And one of the mistakes I think the president made in this last year is after he won, after he used all these hypnotic techniques to get people all excited, once he got in, he kind of lost some of that and he kind of came I call him a policy wonk. You know, he was over-explaining things and getting so detailed, and some of his biggest supporters, if you remember, were complaining, like, you know, plus a lot of us don't really care to hear how he's doing it, just go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. So, I mean, he gets in his campaigns, if you think back to when he was running, much like Bill Clinton when he was running, you know, they get people highly emotional. And then he tags the good emotions to himself with some hand movements. He always like would touch his tie, or he makes this, he touches his index finger, middle finger, and thumb together, and it's like he's pointing to himself as he's talking about good things. So as he elicits a good response in you, if he talks about JFK or even Ronald Reagan, he's kind of bringing those good feelings and kind of putting that to him. And he was brilliant at doing that in the campaign. Because it really caught my attention when, you know, I heard people calling him the greatest leader of a generation when he first started running. And not to sound partisan, but my question is, what did he ever lead? And, you know, where's the evidence,
right,
one way or another? I didn't really care.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the way he was eliciting things like JFK and Ronald Reagan and FDR and linking those kind of feelings to him, which is great. It got him the job. But then people expect you to either act like JFK, Ronald Reagan, or FDR. And
mm-hmm.
So going back to, you know, he set a standard that was hard to live up to.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Hope and Change threw it out there and then wrapped it around in some other well-known presidents and things that they had done. But can he deliver on that? That's the question. And, of course, the State of the Union. Absolutely, we heard a lot of the same. Dr. Horton, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
Thank you, and if you need anything, people can just Google me, and I can send them that free article if they want it.
All right, and they can Google you at, well, you're all over the place. You're all over the web, actually.
Yeah, I'm like a bad penny. I keep turning up. Or they can just go to, it's a quick, nfnlp.com. And
all right.
Got all the stuff there.
All right, excellent. Thanks, Doc.
Bye-bye.
All right, so Dr. Horton says, you know, it was part of what he learned from his favorite book, 48 Laws of Power, how to get people entranced into what you're saying. And I would agree with that, contrasting harder times, the Great Depression, World War II. You heard that. That was absolutely thrown out during the State of the Union. We're going to talk more specifics on the State of the Union coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQUAAqua.com. Or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
It's obvious God loves us and has a sense of humor. Why? Because he created peppermint. Hi, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht for GetMint.com. We all know that mint is fun and delicious, but did you know it's also great for your health? Research shows mint can help soothe a headache or calm an upset stomach. It's antimicrobial and antiviral, so it's perfect for flu season, too. You can use it to chase bugs and mice out of your pantry without toxic chemicals, and kids love its great cool taste. GetMint.com offers quality peppermint and spearmint oils made right here in the USA by fourth-generation mint farmer Peppermint Jim. His pure, pungent mint oils are 100% natural, free from harmful chemicals, and very affordable. So improve your health and spice up your life with natural mint products from GetMint.com or call 1-800-345-9068. That's GetMint.com or 1-800-345-9068 and feel the minty freshness.
This is Tom from HempUSA.org, and I'm here to thank the listeners who have purchased our products over the last 3 years. We all know these products have made their lives healthier and safer. At HempUSA.org, we have constantly strived to bring new products to the forefront. Why use chemically laden products that can be absorbed into the skin and cause disease? Why have 10 products when you only need one? And why waste your money on products that don't work? If you ask yourself these questions and want to know more about new innovative products, please call HempUSA.org at 908-691-2608. From our non-food items to our storable and daily foods, it's quality that counts for the health and welfare of our customers. Again, I thank you all for sharing in our success and by joining as affiliates and being a part of the hemp revolution. Call 908-691-2608 or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
Take $30 billion of the money Wall Street banks have repaid and use it to help community banks give small businesses the credit they need to stay. I'm also proposing a new small business tax credit, one that will go to over 1 million small businesses who hire new workers or raise wages. While we're at it, let's also eliminate all capital gains taxes on small business investment and provide a tax incentive for all large businesses and all small businesses to invest in new plants and equipment. Next, we can put Americans to work today building the infrastructure of tomorrow. From the first railroads to the interstate highway system, our nation has always been built to compete. There's no reason Europe or China should have the fastest trains or the new factories that manufacture clean energy products.
All right. Sounds good, but can he deliver? The one thing that I would say in this speech that was a little different, you just heard there, that's a 180, first of all, on the whole business thing. Some real specifics there, taking the money repaid back to the government from the bailouts and dumping it into community banks and making it available for loans for small businesses, tax credits for small businesses who hire new people or who increase their payroll. Now, my question would be, how do you follow through with this? Because it would be really, really tough, I think, to do that. But on the surface, it sounds good, doesn't it? Because I'm concerned about small business across the country. Small business, remember the definition, we've talked about this before, is 500 employees or less. And I think it's like 89% of the country is really comprised of small businesses. It's not the behemoth corporations that you hear about. Yeah, we have the corporations that have thousands and thousands of employees, but the majority of people in the United States actually work for what would be traditionally called a small business. So Republicans certainly liked some of what they heard when it came to what the president was saying as far as business is concerned, but it's about the follow through. So we write all this stuff down and we see if there, if this becomes a reality. One thing that the president did say throughout this whole State of the Union address, he said he wasn't going to quit, all that sort of stuff. I don't have quit, and he didn't have quit in him, basically. And he said he wouldn't walk away from reform, and we'll get to health care overhaul in a second, not when we're so close, basically. But on the whole business side and on the whole idea of what's going to happen with our limping economy, and I told you, and we knew this, it was going to be about how do you overcome double-digit unemployment, the federal deficit soaring to this incredible number. And, you know, what do you do? So that was part of it, the whole small businesses combined with jobs. And one thing that Obama said, he did acknowledge this. He said change has not come fast enough. As hard as it might be and as uncomfortable and contentious as the debates may be, it's time to get serious about fixing the problems that are hampering our growth. So I think as he weaved some of that in there, he was trying to put salve on the disappointment, on the wounds, and also try to somehow make Republicans feel as though there could be some bipartisan cooperation between the Democrats and the GOP. Some other specifics that he announced money-wise in saying that deal with the community banks, he's going to initiate the specific number is $30 billion program to push money to those banks at low rates if they agree to increase the lending to the small businesses, because what's happened in light of the housing crisis and, let's face it, the economic collapse, the lending has become tighter than a drum for small businesses. And you could say the same thing on the housing front, too. So all that money comes from what's left in the Wall Street Rescue Fund, in that $700 billion fund. And, you know, it's funny. He did say this, if you remember. He didn't say this when they were talking about the bailout, but now, because of the blowback and all of us across America, no matter which way you vote, I mean, let's face it, there were a lot of people that were upset about the bailout. And he described that program about as popular as a root canal, and he made a definite point of saying, I hate it. He said he hated it. He said this in the State of the Union address. So I think throughout this, he was trying his best to appease businesses, to try to unite the Democrats and the Republicans somewhat in what was going on. And he also talked about the government's spending more than it has. But isn't that what he did? So he acknowledged the frustration, and he said he would veto any bills that didn't stick to his demand for a three-year freeze. There's that hatchet that John McCain wanted on the campaign trail, for a three-year freeze on some domestic spending. But he also proposed a 6.2% or $4 billion increase in education. Mm-hmm. Announcing this non-binding bipartisan deficit reduction, doesn't sound like a mouthful, task force, and saying he would cut $20 billion on inefficient programs in the next year's budget. I'd love to see this. Can you imagine how long this would take? He'd go through the budget line by line. Isn't that what Kevin Kline did in the movie, Dave? He's going to go through the budget just like that. So partially, the image part of this was to position himself as just one of us, just a regular guy. And he's still that same guy, Barack Obama. I can do it. We can change. I'm fighting for you. And I'm gonna get things done. Woo. There were some other sticky things that he also addressed in the State of the Union speech that we'll keep our eyes on, too. I'm going to tell you how some of this, in fact, checking it won't work out, but let me give you the broad strokes first. He also urged Congress to require lobbyists to disclose all contacts with lawmakers or members of his administration. Oh, that's good. Do you think they're going to do that? Here's my Rolodex. Here's my BlackBerry. Here's my secrets. And to also stop the impact of last week's Supreme Court decision that would allow corporations greater flexibility in supporting or opposing candidates. And as he was addressing that, because that there you have the lobbyists and give me the contacts because we need to know and who are they talking to in the administration and all that other sort of stuff, he called it a deficit of trust, that we face a deficit of trust, do you think? And, you know, even before he got up and went into the State of the Union address, some of those proposals, some of the things that I just told you were revealed by the White House in advance. And the problem is some of them probably won't make too much of a difference, to be honest. It sounds good. It sounds good in the speech, but it's the target. I think he's missing the target on some fronts, and some of them just are too small that it won't make that much of a difference. And I think that Tim Geithner is really dancing along on a thin line, the Treasury Secretary, because he's getting pummeled by Democrats and Republicans on the Hill when he was trying to defend himself on the AIG bailout earlier in the day. And this all goes back to the public's anger about the Wall Street bailout. All of us, how we all feel across the board. I don't care if you live in Jersey. I don't care if you live in the South, where you live. This is one thing that has absolutely united most Americans, unless you're making your living on Wall Street or have really tight ties to Wall Street. Almost everybody was incensed once you heard about the gigantic bonuses that were announced, and we had, of course, the lending that we did to bail them out, to bail out the big corporations like the three dreaded letters, and then you hear about the huge bonuses, and it just made people go bananas. And obviously, the White House knows this, and this is part of the reasons why Obama is falling down in the polls. And I think why so much of the speech was directed in that direction was to try to heal those wounds, try to jump back on that, I think. And he did also say he shares some of the blame for not explaining his plans to the public, and connecting to them with their everyday worries when he talked about health care and the overhaul of health care, which is what we went back to initially and said, why were they trying to ramrod this through in the first place? This is a huge blunder. So we come back on the flip side. I'm going to let you hear what specifically the president said in the State of the Union address about health care overhaul and some of the things that happened along the way, because he's still pushing for it and hoping that there's a way that it can pass, that we can have something happen to our health care system, some kind of a reform. I'll let you hear that in just a few. Remember, you can always jump in with your 2 cents as far as a grade on the President's State of the Union address. 800-259-5791. See you in a few.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride, had less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2-sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I like to see you move right across the floor. I like to do the thing.
Our approach would preserve the right of Americans who have insurance to keep their doctor and their plan. It would reduce costs and premiums for millions of families and businesses. And according to the Congressional Budget Office, the independent organization that both parties have cited as the official scorekeeper for Congress, our approach would bring down the deficit by as much as $1 trillion over the next two decades. Still, this is a complex issue. And the longer it was debated, the more skeptical people became. I take my share of the blame for not explaining it more clearly to the American people. And I know that with all the lobbying and horse trading, the process left most Americans wondering, what's in it for me? But I also know this problem is not going away. By the time I'm finished speaking tonight, more Americans will have lost their health insurance. Millions will lose it this year. Our deficit will grow. Premiums will go up. Patients will be denied the care they need. Small business owners will continue to drop coverage altogether. I will not walk away from these Americans, and neither should the people in this chamber.
All right, that's just a little snippet of what the president was talking about as far as the health care side that he weaved into the State of the Union address. You heard him taking blame, as I mentioned before, for not explaining himself clearly to the American people. Did he explain himself clearly in the State of the Union address? We did a little fact-checking on this, and we're going to go through some of that, including starting with health care. Hey, everybody. Kate, hanging with you, swinging as always for the fences on America Tonight. You can shoot me your thoughts at AmericaTonight.net. Here's the thing. In some of what we're talking about in this commitment with health care, that we shouldn't bail on the people, you heard that, and the right approach would be to preserve the right of Americans who have insurance to keep their doctor and their plan. That's key. Because in what is being proposed, there's no way that's going to happen across the board, because I think premiums will go through the roof. And I'll say this again and again and again and again, and I said this from the very start, I know, because my father was in insurance. So I asked a lot of different people, including him, about what could happen, how things could work, whatever. And the big thing, of course, is erasing the state lines. They don't want to do. The insurance companies do not want that competition. If you were able to shop around, it would be there would make a big difference, a dramatic difference for a lot of people, because their hands are tied in some cases. And the same with some of the businesses, depending on the size. So in talking about that, the legislation that's now on the Hill to keep people with their employer-sponsored coverage, so that would be what the majority of folks under 65 in the plans that they have. But it's in limbo, like I said, because you can't guarantee that this will happen. If you look at that one giant point of contention for the president, certainly, the administration is saying that the recipients of direct assistance from the government-created insurance, or what they could possibly save, their number was based on only self-reporting by recipients, right? Because they're saying that that saved about, in the end, probably 650,000 jobs, I think is what they said, 650,000 jobs. So if you take those numbers, and that number was based on, as I said, self-reporting by the people themselves, and some of the calculations were wrong, then you go to the CBO, and they've been very, very tight. They've been much more guarded in characterizing the success of the stimulus plan. They report that this job thing goes with the healthcare initiative. So follow along with me on that, because it's the whole thing about keeping the doctor in the plan. So if you go to what I just said and the jobs, and you go to the CBO numbers, in November, they reported that the stimulus increased the number of people employed between that 600,000 and 1.6 million. And they compared it with the values that would have been otherwise. So the ranges reflected the uncertainty of the estimates. What do I always call it? I mean, I'll cut through all the rhetoric. It's a guesstimate, and that is the problem. It is impossible to determine how many of the reported jobs would have existed in the absence of the stimulus package. Thus, using those numbers and talking about health care and in keeping the doctor in the plan, it goes to that same point, because you cannot a guarantee. There is no guarantee who are the direct recipients of assistance from those created jobs, again, slash healthcare. Oof. And that really cuts to the heart of all of this. The guesstimates are the things that kill some of the things that are being floated out there, whether it's healthcare, whether it's what jobs are created from the stimulus that ultimately lead to those people who didn't have health care, all of that stuff. We can mix it up in the same pot, and it comes out the same way. And that's why with the doctors we've had on, and we're going to have somebody else on our next show who's a dentist, who I think dentistry is affected by this too, because if your premiums go up, how many people play Russian roulette with their teeth? And they don't want to pay the extra money, or they're on Cobra, and they're certainly not going to pay the extra for the dental there. But also related to just dentistry and, in general, overall health care through a doc's eyes, the guy that we're going to have on our next show is going to talk about, in his family, he grew up in a medical family, what they discussed with socialized medicine and what they saw with friends that they had in other places. So, in fact, forget just waving the magic wand over the whole healthcare thing, but we already know that. And part of the problem is because of the bogus estimates. Even the Congressional Budget Office is very careful about what they say, because the numbers, then whenever they're in the positive column, they're always released as hoorah, I can't believe it. This is exactly where we needed the number to be. And it was like they kept running back to the CBO to get the right number so you could sell it. It would be sellable and the debt wouldn't be as high. Okay, if we do this, well, don't worry about it. We're going to be able to pay it off, but we're not buying it. The other thing is that he claimed that he's had more success than the previous presidents at killing terrorists. We didn't even discuss this yet. And in the last year, hundreds of al-Qaeda's fighters and affiliates, including many senior leaders, have been captured or killed, far more than 2008. That's one of the things that he threw out. And that's a good rah-rah line. It's the same thing. You can't verify it because neither the Bush nor the Obama administration has published enemy body counts. We don't know the numbers. We don't have the numbers, particularly any that were hit by those targeted armed drones, especially in the worst of all regions, in the thick of it, in Pakistan and then Afghanistan. You could look at Afghanistan as well. There's, in that border, there's no way, even though we've had the pace of the attacks has increased, especially what happened with the attack on those CIA guys, and that's happened in the last 18 months, but there still is no way to verify how many of those al-Qaeda fighters, especially senior leaders, there's no way to completely verify that because we don't have any numbers on it. So it's easy to sell that. So that's, I think, another thing that could probably be dispelled as well. I mean, hey, I'm hoping that all of them get knocked down. If they say, we know we've got a body count, whatever, 4,000 were killed, great. And we only have another 4,000 more that we know of to go. But foggy math one more time. So my grade for the State of the Union address would be undecided. And I say undecided or unsatisfactory probably. When I went to school at the tail end of grammar school, oh, I hated it too. There was no A, B, C, D's, or even F's. It was either satisfactory or unsatisfactory / undecided. He gets the big U from me. Might be a different grade from you. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
We don't quit. I don't quit.